And I want to get my text from verse 40. Jesus saith unto her, unto Martha, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? And that's the way it works. People want to see so they can believe. But you ain't going to see until you believe. Now that's the way God ordained it to be. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to Him must first believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. But here in this little town of Bethany, there is a brother and two sisters. They were God-fearing, Christ-loving people. They loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're confronted with these two sisters at different times in different situations. You remember Mary was the one who came in Simon the Pharisee's house and washed the Lord Jesus Christ's feet with her tears and dried them with the hairs of her head. And our Lord told Simon, said, this woman has sinned much, but she's forgiven of much. And he used an illustration. And we see Martha. One time, you know, the Lord Jesus was there for a supper. She fixed a supper for the Lord Jesus. And he came in, and Mary was just sitting there, and Mary was sitting at his feet, and Martha came to him and said, Lord, Lord, don't you care that I'm doing all this and Mary's sitting there doing nothing? Won't you tell her to get up and help me? And our Lord says, Martha, 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 oh, you got lots of concerns and a lot of cares. And oh, listen, Mary's chosen the good part and I'm not taking it away from her. So these two sisters have been seen before. Mary is the one that went and sought the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord revealed himself to her in the garden. The same Mary. But our Lord Jesus Christ, these two people, this family, this dear two sisters and one dear brother, both of them, they all three love the Lord Jesus Christ. It says there in verse 3 of John 11, therefore his sister sent unto him, said, Lord, behold whom thou lovest, we know that you love Lazarus. He whom thou lovest is sick. And look what it says down in verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved them. Oh, how he loved them. And this happy, blessed home, this God-fearing home, this home where the Lord Jesus Christ was loved and welcome, had suddenly been visited with sorrow, great sorrow. They said, Lazarus is sick. He whom thou lovest is sick. The heart is full of love. These sisters' heart is full of love. Then they breathed and called out to the Lord Jesus Christ into his ear their troubles. You love him and he's sick. I know you love him and I know he's sick. And this is troubling us. And our Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 4, when he heard that he was sick, this sickness is not unto death, but for one reason. For the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. This man died. And when he heard this, his sickness is for the glory of God. What? Sickness is for God's glory? Death is for God's glory? That's what our Lord said. This sickness is for my glory. And for God's glory. And we're pretty slow to believe this. Pretty slow to believe this. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And this is working for the glory of God. This man's going to die for the glory of God. This sickness is for the glory of God. But I want you to notice this. This is for the glory of God for those that Christ loved and love Christ. Everything don't work for the good to them that don't know Christ. In fact, nothing works for your good that don't know Christ. God's against you. The anger and wrath of God hovers over you like a big cloud. And oh my, this is strange to everybody's ears, but to the ears of faith. To the ears of faith. Though he loved them, all of them, he stayed. The scriptures tells us he stayed 2 more days in the same place. And then he went into Judea where they tried to kill him one time. And then he started home. Then he started back to Jerusalem. And how strange that his absence from them should be a proof of his love for them. If you and I heard somebody was sick, we'd be there just that quick. If they was going to look like they was going to die, we'd go sit with them. We'd go sit with the people. But here in the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to stay right here for 2 more days. And then I'm going to take a day going here, and I'm going to take a day going there. 4 days have gone by. I'm not going when they first ask me. And that's another thing we need to learn. We call on God, and we think he ought to jump just that quick. And I'm not going when they first asked. He's going to give them more than what they even asked for. He's just sick. Come over here and he'll be fine. But he's going to do more for them than they could even imagine. Huh? And let me ask you this. Look in verse 15. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, Lazarus plainly is dead. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Which is the greater act? Healing a man that's sick or giving a man life from the dead? Which is greater? Which is greater? For God to go and heal him when he's sick or let him die and give him life from the dead? Which is the greater act? They had prayed. They had wept a bucket full of tears. Now our Lord Jesus Christ says, believe and trust. Believe and trust. Oh, I'm the resurrection and I'm the life. And your brother's going to live again. Oh, I know he's going to live at the last day. No, no, I'm the resurrection. I'm the resurrection. Do you believe this? And let me say, faith. Faith must be tested before it can receive any reward, which is seen. Faith has got to be tried before it can see. And that's what I've already said. He that cometh to God, the first thing is, must believe that he is. Now that don't believe that he's existed, that he exists in heaven or exists on the earth. That means that you believe who he says he is. That he is God and beside him there is none other. I'm a just God and I'm a Savior. Therefore, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ, that's what it means to know, believe, first believe God. And then our Lord Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou would believe, you should see the glory of God. And the first thing he told them was in verse 39, when they come to that grave, come to that cave, and that stone was over, the first thing he says, take away the stone. Take away the stone. If you believe that I'm the resurrection, if you believe that I'm the life, said I not unto thee, is my word not sufficient? Is my word not true? Is my word not full of promise and power? Said I not, take away the stone. You desire to see God's glory? You desire to see God's power, God's majesty, by God's blessed power? You desire to see his glory? Well, take away the stone. Take away the stone. You believe your brother's going to rise again? You believe he will? Take away the stone. Our Lord made it plain that faith without works is dead. Two things marveled our Lord Jesus Christ, unbelief and faith. Both those things marveled at it. He marveled at it. And I say, would you see the glory of God? Would you see God's glory in the Lord Jesus Christ? Believe and you'll see. This idea that, you know, faith is blind, is faith can't be blind. Faith makes the invisible visible. Faith makes things that you've never seen seeable. Faith made the invisible God visible to Moses. So he says, take away the stone. Let me give you some stones that need to be taken away. There's first of all the stone of ignorance. That's a stone that needs to be taken away. The stone of ignorance. You know how many people are ignorant of God, ignorant of the Bible, ignorant of the truth, ignorant, and love their ignorance. But there's people say, there's so much I don't know. Well, I don't know either. There was a fella wrote a book. And oh, he says, now listen, this book is full of everything I know. Everything I know. And he gave it to somebody and they opened it up and he had a name on it. Everything I know, opened it up, there was nothing on any page. It's a blank book. Now that's what we, that's why I am in this world. I mean, you know, it's a that's old Carter Brown. He used to have a book. He worked for IBM. Said everything I learned at IBM, and I got it off shelf one day to look at it, and there was every page in it was blank too. He said, "This is what I learned at IBM. Nothing." And that's the way if people say, "Well, I just so much I don't know." Our Lord Jesus Christ didn't say what you had to know. He said, believe and you'll see the glory of God. People want to know. When our Lord said, believe. If you'll prove things to them, that's what they said. Give us a sign. Give us a sign. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, there ain't going to be no sign given to you but the sign of the prophet Jonas. What's that? That Jonas was thrown overboard so everybody on that ship could be saved. And he went down into the belly of hell. And he came back out and the whale spit him out on dry ground. The death and burial of our Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection was the only sign that those folks going to get. That I'm going to die, not for my sin, but for everybody else, for other people's sins. And I'm going to go down into the belly, down in the belly of death. I'm going to go down into the very belly of hell itself. And I'm going to take your sins down there and I'm going to come back out of the grave and say, salvation's of the Lord. And I'm going to come up and I'm going to come out of that grave and I'm going to give them 40 days and 40 nights to let them look at a body that comes out of the grave that's got no blood in it, but it's flesh and bones. And it can move and it can eat. And also He didn't say it's how much you know or what you know. He said, if you know, he said, believe. And then there's stone of sentiment. Oh, people, they're sentiment. Oh, my. Martha said, it's my brother. Mary said, it's my brother. It's my brother. Oh, my. Surely, surely, you aren't going to have us take away the stone. It's my brother. And I love my brother. Oh, don't do this to my brother. Don't let me see my brother in this kind of condition. It's sentimental. And then there's the stone of tradition. And oh my, this is the one. Ignorance and tradition's the worst. I wasn't raised that way. I was raised like the rest of us, raised to be a heathen. That's what we're all heathens, and we'd still be heathens if it wasn't for the grace of God. I tell you what, I wasn't raised that way. Of course you wasn't raised to believe. Of course you wasn't raised to trust Christ. Of course you wasn't raised to have faith. Of course you wasn't raised under the sound of the gospel of the grace of God. I wasn't raised to believe in God's sovereignty. I was raised to believe in man's free will. I was raised to believe that man has to have a choice and have a chance. I heard a fellow this morning say that Jesus loves everybody and resurrected for him and died for him, and that you can have a chance of eternal life. A chance. That means our Lord Jesus Christ come here and died and gives people a chance. That's what you get at Las Vegas. You roll the dice for a chance to win some money. Our Lord Jesus Christ's life and death was not a chance to save somebody. And oh, listen, I to believe that Jesus would let people be sick and die for His glory, I wasn't raised that way. I was raised that if you believed enough, that anything. Oh, listen, our Lord, listen, that's what people say whenever somebody gets sick, and these prophets and these false preachers and that come along and say, oh, listen, it's your faith that keeps this from happening. Well, listen, our Lord Jesus Christ, He says, this man's going to die. And this man's sick. And you know why he is? For my glory. To God to be glorified. I wasn't raised to believe that people got sick for the glory of God. I was taught everybody had faith, that it's an easy thing to believe. And I was taught that Jesus doesn't want anyone to suffer. Well, then why did He suffer? He was the only sinless man on the face of this earth, and He suffered. And you and I, why would we not suffer? We're born sinners, going to live sinners and die sinners. But we'll live by saved sinners and by the grace of God. Oh, listen. And I wasn't raised to believe that man's really dead, but our Lord said plainly, Lazarus is dead. Dead. And then there's another stone. Stone of dignity. Stone of dignity. I'm going to preserve my dignity. Oh, I've got dignity. I'm going to keep a stiff upper lip. I'm not going to be doing any crying. I'm not going to let folks see my emotions. I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to ask the Lord for anything. I'm not going to ask Him to take away the stone. I'm not going to ask Him for anything. I'm just going to keep a stiff upper lip. I'm going to preserve my dignity at the expense of God's glory. I'm not asking for nothing. Well, go ahead. And oh, the stone of morality, the stone of merit, the stone of good works, all these stones got to be taken away if a man would see the glory of God. You say, well, he's a good moral man. I remember, we was talking about it last weekend. Henry used to have a preacher school, and they'd go every Saturday, and they'd take all day Saturday, and they'd go through it. Oh, that lasted a long time. And then on Saturday night, he'd have two of those fellas preach. Two of them preach. They even practiced baptism and everything. But he had two of them preach, and I never will forget. I ain't going to say which preacher it was. But I was up there one Saturday night when two of them preached. And one of them preached on the rich young ruler. And the first thing he says that this rich young ruler was a good moral person, good moral man. When he got through, and Henry would do this right in front of everybody, he said, the first thing you said wrong was the first thing you said. He was a good moral man. A good moral man. Not give up everything he has for the glory of Christ. Huh? You think morality's going to have anything to do with God's going to look at you and say, boy, that fella's really a good moral person, and I'm going to just have to save him because he's so good and he's so moral? And then somebody else says, oh, honey, he's a Boy Scout, Cub Scout, and that's my granny. She's, oh my goodness, my granny's so good that I know good and well she's in glory. You reckon they go to heaven because they're good? And what about good works? What good work? What good work could you do? What good work could you do to get God to ever accept you on any work you ever did? Huh? And oh, listen, now look back here with me at verse 39. Oh, them stones. You know, they had in the scriptures when they had the cities of refuges, and they had five cities of refuges, and they had men that had to go out continually and constantly, clean the roads out, get all the stones and everything out of the way that would hinder anybody getting into that city of refuge. They had to get them stones out of the way. And I tell you what, they'd go out and clean out the roads and everything. So people getting through there, you know, the road would be clean. They could get to the city of refuge. Well, I tell you what, there's a lot of stones got to be took out of people's ways if they're going to come into the city of refuge. Stone of ignorance. Stone of tradition. Stone of dignity. But look what else happens here now. In verse 39. Our Lord Jesus says, take ye away the stone. He's going to try faith. He's going to try it. You're going to do what I say, or else you're going to just argue with me. You're going to debate with me. You're going to find fault with me. You know, and look at the voice of reason. Here's what reason and doubt says. This is what reason and doubt says when our Lord says, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. What she's saying, corruption's already set in. Corruption's already set in. Yes, Martha, that's true. That's true. Yeah, he stinks. There's no doubt about it that he stinks. All of our righteousnesses are as a filthy rag. God says your righteousness comes up before me as a stench in my nostrils. And everything our Lord says, yes, Martha, this is true. He's been dead 4 days, corruption set in, and he's stinking. He's stinking. But here's what you're doing. You're reasoning, you're not believing. Said I not unto thee, if thou wouldst see the glory of God? Believe if thou wouldst see the glory. If you want to see, believe. See, you're looking at the difficulty. You're looking at the difficulty more than at the promise. What our Lord said in verse 23, Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. You're looking at the difficulty. You're looking at the problem instead of the promise. And that's what folks do. They look at the problem. They look at the difficulty instead of looking at the promise. She looked at the difficulty. There's stone. And Lord, if you open that up, it's going to be awful. Oh, what a stench. What a stink. And our Lord Jesus saying this, your eyes and mind is still on the dead instead of on the life. And that's what she was. Her mind and eye was still on that dead brother instead on the Lord Jesus Christ, who just told her, I'm the resurrection and I'm the life. Just told her that. Oh, your minds and mind still on the dead instead of life, on the one who gives life. And beloved, this is the reason why most of us don't see the glory of God. We look at the problem instead of the God who can take care of it and will take care of it. That's the reason why we don't see the glory of His power. We see our loved ones. We see our wives. We see our children. We see our grandchildren. We see our friends. We see our neighbors. Dead. Dead. And they're in a stinking position. They stink before God. Their self-righteousness stinks before us. I was talking to a drug addict here recently. I'm going to show you how people are. A drug addict. And they went on and on about how it's my fault, my fault, my fault. I can't blame anybody else, can't blame anybody else. Well, I mentioned somebody else and what was going on, you know, and they immediately said, boy, I tell you, I may be awful. I may be a drug addict, but I don't do that. And she started off on, and that's what I'm telling you. I don't care how bad you get. You've always got somebody that you can look down on that you wouldn't do that. But I tell you what, I ain't got anybody in my family that ain't self-righteous. In fact, I got plenty of self-righteousness left in me. God saved me from it. But oh, we look at our loved ones. Look at all the children you and Helen's got, Rick, and all your grandbabies. I know you're burdened for them. I know you pray for them. And look at these teenagers and these young people here. Man, alive, I understand. I know you're young. And I know you've got a whole life in front of you. But we instead of looking to Christ and we mourn over our loved ones as if there's no hope, because our eyes aren't fixed on Him who's the resurrection and the life. And I tell you, beloved, as long as there's hope, I'm telling you, I know this for a fact, as long as there's hope, there's life. And don't never give up on a soul until they tell you, don't talk to me about it anymore. Don't never give up. Could I give up on a son and a daughter, flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone, blood of my blood? Could I give up on grandchildren and great-grandchildren? Could I give up on little O'Reilly and her beauty? No. You can't. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and say, oh Lord Jesus, they need you. They don't know it, but I know it. They won't call on the Lord, so you call on the Lord for them. Call them by name. Don't just say a son or daughter. Call them by name. Bring their name before the Lord. That's what they did with the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And the scripture said, and Jesus loved Lazarus. And we'll never know. There sits a man right there, 75 years old, when God opened his heart. As long as there's life, there's hope, I'm telling you. And right here's one. As long as there's life, there's hope. And don't never, ever stop believing that. And that's why Martha said, oh, she looked at the circumstances and the difficulty. But when you're talking about the resurrection and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, there ain't no difficulties to Him. There ain't none to Him. Huh? Oh, my. And then look what He says there in verse 40 again. He gave her a rebuke of love. Oh, He gave her a rebuke of love. Said I not unto thee, did I not tell you, didn't I tell you, Martha, that if thou wouldest believe, you'd see the glory of God? Don't look at the stone. Don't look at the dead brother. Believe. Didn't I tell you if you'd believe, you see God's glory? People want to see God's glory. But you got to have some faith before you do that. And look what he said. How do you suppose these words affected Martha's heart? How do you know? What do you reckon it, how it affected her heart when our Lord Jesus Christ spoke these words? And they wasn't spoken to us harshly. I'm sure if it'd been me or you, I said, ain't I already told you? That's what we'd have done. I've told you and told you this. When are you going to get it through your head? But no, our Lord looked at her and said, said I not unto thee, Martha? Last time he said, Martha, Martha. And he said I not unto thee, Martha, that if you would believe, didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you'd see God's glory? Didn't I tell you that? And how do you reckon these words affected Martha's heart? Well, I believe it melted it. I believe it broke it. I believe, it doesn't say it here, because they had already been crying. But I believe that she started crying. I believe she said, oh Lord. Oh Lord. You see, beloved, doubting is not a weakness or an infirmity, but it's sin. It's sin. It's a denial of the word of him who can't lie. To doubt him who can't lie. It's not no glory for us to doubt God. It's nothing. To doubt God, to not believe his promises, that's sin. Oh my, and he loved them. Look in Matthew, keep this, and look in Matthew 13:58. Look in Matthew 13, verse 58. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, to Abraham believed God. That's what it said. He believed God. And then that faith brought glory to God. And for us to believe God. But oh, look what it says here in verse 58 of Matthew 13. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Their unbelief. Huh? And that's what all both those sisters said. Lord, if you'd have been here. If you'd have been here. If you'd have just come on over here like we asked you to. If you'd have moved when we wanted you to. If you'd answered our prayers the way we wanted them answered, you'd have done been here, and this wouldn't have happened. And that's what they're saying. Lord, if you'd just been here, if you'd have just got up and come on like we asked you to, and moved when we told you to, and told you how bad our situation was, you wouldn't have left us like this. And if you'd have been here, you'd have died. They both said that. Oh, my. And how often has that been said? But I'll tell you something. There never is a time that he isn't present. He always knows what's going on. And he always says, believe, and you'll see the glory of God after rebuke of love. Now listen to what else they do now. This is, they obey the voice of their master. In verse 41, then they took away the stone where the dead was laid. You know, the scripture says obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. That stone of unbelief was between Martha's heart and in seeing God's glory in raising the dead. And there's lots and lots of stones in the way of many, and including me. There's the stone of the fear of man. The fear of man. Oh, if I make a profession of faith or something, you know, what will people think? You know, what if I go back? Oh, if God saves you, there ain't no danger of that. That ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. And then there's the stone of love the world. I'm just not going to, you know, I love the world too much. I love my sin too much. And then there's the stone of just selfish indifference. Selfish indifference. But oh, look what they took away the stone. Now look what happens. After they took away the stone, they obeyed the obedience of faith. Look what happens in verse 44. And our Lord spoke with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And look what it said. How was his glory seen? I tell you what. And he that was dead came forth. That's the first thing. There's life from the dead. And I tell you what, our Lord Jesus, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And that's talking about dead in sins. And then look what it says. He came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes. I mean, he was wrapped up. And look what it says, and had a napkin around his face. They wrapped up a napkin around his face. His whole body's wrapped up. Now he's alive. He's as alive as he's ever going to be. But they're standing there looking at this man. And he's still got every grave clothes on that they put him in the grave with. And look what it said. And then our Lord Jesus Christ said, loose him and let him go. Two things, how God's glory was seen. Life from the dead and liberty. Liberty for the living. Whom he gives life to, he sets free. He sets them free. And all Lazarus were restored back to their home and their hearts. Oh, their home and their hearts. They believed and saw the glory of God and was satisfied. And look what he says here. Loose him and let him go. Oh my. What a blessed thing. Start, take them grave clothes off. Take them grave clothes off of him. You know what? Have you got your grave clothes picked out yet? What suit you going to be buried in? What dress you going to be buried in? What jewelry you going to be buried in? Huh? A lot of people do. They pick out their grave clothes before they ever get there. This is what I want to be buried in. This is what I want to wear. This is. And now they wrapped him in his grave clothes. And oh, listen. They said, take them off of him. The dead need grave clothes. The living don't need them. Don't need them. He's alive now. He don't need them. And you're still mourning hopelessly for the dead. For folks, you know, that you love. Forgetting him who said, believe and you shall see. What he says to these troubled sisters, take it as a word in season to yourself. If you would see the glory of God, believe. And all for those unbelievers here that has questions in their minds. How can I know the Bible is the Word of God? How can I know that the blood of Christ cleanses from all sin? How am I to know that the life is in Christ? Believe. And you'll see every bit of those. Yeah. And then if there's anybody here that's already been seeking the Lord, anxious about how you can be justified by simply believing. I don't see how I can be justified from all my sin, all my guilt, by just believing. Surely, surely there's something to be done. No, believe and you'll see. By Him, you shall be justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And if you're a suffering believer, remember this. Like Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and I shall see Him for myself. I shall see Him for myself. And for any discouraged labor here, any saint that's discouraged, like those disciples that went out and fished all night, said, we've toiled all night and taken nothing. Our Lord said, launch out into the deep. At your word, I'll let down the net. At your word, I'm going to believe. And then for those, a dying believer, boy, this is a comfort for me. Dying believer, saidest thou not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou see the glory of God? If we die in faith, we're going to really, really see the glory of God. Oh, we're going to see the glory of God. Oh, it's wonderful to see it here. If it's so good to see it here and enjoy it here, imagine what it's going to be like there. Life, and listen. Life is constantly fading from view. Every day goes over our head. That's another day. We're closer. And how these days keep going over our head. Just keep going and keep going and keep going. Uh-huh. The things of this world is fading from our vision. They don't interest us. But our Master said this, I'm the resurrection. And I'm alive. And he that were dead believeth in me. And you know what he means, who is dead? People that's dead in trespasses and sins. Huh? Someday soon, all the stones will be gone. All the grave clothes will finally be gone. And we'll truly be loosed. Loosed. And go be, David said it like this, I'll be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. Our Father, in the blessed name of Christ our Lord, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the truth. God bless you. Bless those here today. give them faith to believe so they can see the glory of God. And if they've seen God's glory in Christ today, if they've seen glory in the truth that they've heard today, we thank you for the faith that you've given them, for the faith that you've worked in them. Lord, bring glory to yourself. Glory to yourself through us here for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that He Arose. Did you find it? Is it not in this book? I thought it was. It must not be. Huh? Well, 67. Let's stand together and sing 67. 67. Do you believe? Are you like Martha? see you tonight, 6 o'clock.